Greetings, greetings, each of you, by the very means of internet radio. You tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, is here to serve you on today. Today, we're going to start off talking with you all just a little bit. Our system just had some type of something going on with it, and it's glitching, and I won't be able to open the lines up just yet. So if you'll just allow me just to do a little talking to you in the beginning, amen, as our system do is reboot and come on. But you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational, Six Eyes Gospel Show, amen, where you can get your praise on without leaving the house. Truly, we are blessed to be in your presence on today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall be glad and rejoice in it. And I am just glad to be in the company with you all on today, wherever you may be in the world. We know that we are in multiple countries, and maybe you're somewhere overseas listening to us. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've been listening to us from time to time. But we pray that all is well with you on today. And as you trust God, we're trusting God with you that your faith will continue to elevate. This monthly emphasis, we've been talking about the unity. Unity, the key, a key to success. Unity, a key to success. We've been talking about the importance of unity. And your family that prays together stays together. A family that eats together grows together. And a unified family can do anything. That's right. So we believe the Bible. The Bible is so integral to us having a successful life. And so when we unify with God's word, we learn what it is to really live holy and to live right. Abram was a man of faith that believed in one God. God allowed him to maintain in a place where that belief was compromised. And so God told him, Abraham, get out of thy father's house and go into a place that I shall show thee. And Abraham, because his brother was dead, he took his brother's son, which was his nephew, with him named Lot. And Abram left his family. And in leaving his family, he left the family business. He left the familiar place. He moved out of his comfort zone. To add to that, many of us move from time to time. But Abram wasn't in his early 20s, nor was he in his 30s, nor was he in his 40s or 50s. And even he wasn't even in his 60s. But Abram was 75 years old when he left the place that God had told him to leave. And so many of us, when we have to make hard decisions, the decisions become hard because of the necessity of moving from where we are. And so he had to make the decision to trust God. And God gave him a word of blessing. Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house and go into a place that I shall show you. And there I shall make you a blessing. I shall make you a great nation. And so many times our blessings is connected to our obedience. A lot of us say we trust God, but do you really trust him? Have you trust God to do the things that God has said do? Do you trust God to be obedient to God? Do you trust God enough when he say move, you just say where to? The real ultimate test of your faith. If God said it, do you obey it? If God said move, do you move? If he asks you to jump, do you say how high? Many times we think that this is beyond us. We think that we should have a right to choose this or that. But what if you got in your automobile one tomorrow wanting to head to work, and instead of heading to work, your car drove down to the beach, drove down to the local park. It went in a opposite direction from what you told it. Now, the first time it happened, you might be amazed. You might be shocked. You might may even think that you did it unconsciously, involuntarily. But if it do it again and again, sooner or later, if not right then when it first happened, you, Mr., you, sir, you, ma'am, you, lady, you will, without a doubt, begin to look for another car. Uh-huh. You will begin to look for another vehicle. You begin to look for something that's going to move in the direction that you want to go in. It's amazing that we know that we are created by Almighty God. Even though you may have questions about who God is or what, we know that there was a mighty creator. And he created us with purpose. He created us in his image, out of his likeness. And he created us with a function. But it's amazing how many times we want to do our own thing versus the reason and function in which he created us. And so, therefore, I'm just simply saying to you today that if God made you for a purpose, if God made you for his cause, God made you and I, so let me say us. If God made us for his cause, if God made us for his purpose, what gives us the right to just to do anything? Nothing. That means we are operating in disobedience. So the Bible spoke well when it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anytime we walk in a different direction from the direction God told us to walk, well, you may say, Brother Preacher, I didn't know I couldn't walk this way. Well, I believe, according to Joel, he said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I believe there's times and opportunities in our lives, situations in our lives. We'll get that unknowingly unction to go this direction or to do this thing. And we make a conscious decision to do contrary to what that unction was giving us. And only to find ourselves saying these words later on. I wish I would have obeyed my first mind. That first mind was a voice of God speaking by his own Holy Spirit that was telling us which way to go, telling us the right thing to do. But for whatever reason, we chose to do our own thing. And because we made that conscious decision to do our very own thing, we missed out on a lot. We end up doing something that we later on regretted. We ended up being a part of something that we wish we had a do-over, but there's no do-overs. Sometimes you just have to start all back over. You have to tear down and go back and rebuild the first works. In other words, sometimes we build our houses on sand. But the Bible says that is a foolish man. But the wise man builds his home on a foundation, the rock. But what foundation are we building our homes in? And I'm not talking about your physical house where you have a set address. I'm talking about the bodies that you live in. For you and I are living spirits, and we possess a body, which is our housing. So in these housing, how are we building them up? Are we building them up on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Or are we building them on sinking sand? Things that look good today, sound good today, but tomorrow, if the floods come in, it simply washes away the sand. And we find ourselves leaning. We find ourselves falling. All because we did not build on a sure foundation. There's no greater foundation than Jesus Christ. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will should not perish but have everlasting life. We have life, and we have it so much more today, all because what Christ did some 2,000 years ago for mankind. They can say what they will, but if it wasn't for Christ, there would be no salvation. What do I mean by salvation, though? Because many people have the interpretation of what salvation is. We mean, when we believers, Christian faith, say salvation, we mean the saving from ourselves and the saving of our soul from the eternal punishment in hell's fire. That's right. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But death here is not the physical beating of your heart and the stopping of the flowing of blood through your body. But this death is the separation of your soul from the presence of Almighty God in the process of being condemned to eternal damnation in hell's fire, where the worms die not and the fire quench not. Now, these are what the scriptures have told us, and these are what we believe by faith. Now, you may not believe that the beloved God will judge mankind like that, will cause that type of eternal punishment. What I can tell you is simply that's what's written. That is what he said. And what I do know from my own personal experience, if God says it, that settles it. It's coming to pass. It's going to be what he said. Because when I read Genesis, I see, in the beginning, God said. God didn't try to describe himself to us. He didn't tell us of how mighty he is and none of those things. He goes into no description of himself. He simply introduced himself as the all-sufficient one who is putting into order that which we see. So everything that you and I see today in this world that's going around us in nature, God is the reason why these things are. And God put order into this existence. And so since he was the one that created it, surely he is the one that has full right to govern it. Matter of fact, the only reason why you and I have the word morality today is because it was built on morals that were simply governed by God. And all of your major philosophers of old, Aristotle, those that reason by natural law, they did these things based on what they saw in nature, which was created by Almighty God. Because it told them in nature these things are not to change. So it's so amazing that as time went on, man thought that he can change the laws of God. He cannot change the laws of God. If God said it, that settles it. So since he says the wages of sin is death, no matter how you dress it up, no matter how you rename it, reclassify it, if God have called this sin and you do not repent, then the punishment is already set. I don't have to condemn you. No one else has to condemn you. The condemnation is in the actions that you do apart from the obedience of God's word. It's automatic. It is as automatically as if you were standing on the top of your roof and you walked over the edge of it and you took that first foot and you stepped off of the edge of the roof where the only thing between you was the air and the ground, then the ground. Automatically, the law of gravity, your foot literally and your weight transfer over to the foot that is in air. Instantly, the gravitational pull pulls you to that solid foundation called the ground. And there is nothing you can do to hinder that fall. What goes up comes down. That law of gravity will instantly kick in. When a sin instantly kick in at the point of death. So if you die in sin, you wake up in the... You wake up in the what we call, what some may call the next life or the new life, but you wake up in your spirit, man, and you wake up the same way you went to sleep in your flesh, man, because we're a spiritual being. We possess a physical flesh suit, because in order to operate, in order to govern, in order to manage in this world, you had to have a body. That means ghosts have no dominion in this world, any kind. So to operate in this world, you must have a physical body. We see it in Genesis. Let us make man after our image and give them dominion. So give them the authority. And so we have that authority today, all because of what Jesus himself put in order. And you say, wait a minute, I thought it said God. Well, we believe in Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Genesis opened up and says, and Elohim, that is his plurality form, his pure form, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son. He is so unique. They say, well, I just don't understand it. Well, if you understood how God would be God, you might be a God. But because we can't understand that trueness of that gravity, we have to take him at his word. And since John 1:1 tells us in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, we take him at his word. And since he told the children of Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. I also told him in another place, he said, is there be any other God? I know not none. So since Jesus was there in the beginning, then he was there at the cross, that lets us know that they are one. And so because he is one, that's what he said, that's what it is. And we thank him because even in the midst of his judgment, he saw mercy and decided to give us grace. And grace, see, mercy, it was punishment less than what you deserve. But grace is the escape from that punishment that you could never deserve. In other words, you could never deserve liberty, but grace gave it to you anyhow. You can never deserve his favor, but he gave it to you anyhow. You've broken all his rules. It's amazing how many people says, man, I wish God would deal with all these evil people in the world. I wish God, man, I wish God would deal with the pedophile. I wish God would deal with the molester and the rapist. We want God to deal with these people. But if God deals with them who sin, then he has to deal with us who lie, who backbite, who committed adultery, fornication. He has to deal with us all. Well, my lie didn't hurt nobody. How do you know whether or not your lie caused a little pain or a lot? How do you not know? There's a text in the Bible where for their own preservation, they didn't tell the whole story. And they left out parts and just tell people you're my sister. And she did. Although she was married to him. Out of obedience, she followed. But because the hand of God was over her life, the hand of God was over the blessed life of Abel. Blessed everything from the head down. He didn't allow misfortune to happen to her and covered her. But nevertheless, as time went on, it ended up being something that caused a level of division that has still been fought today. So you may think it's okay, but you don't know what it may cause for tomorrow. And so we think, many of us that live in our own self-righteousness, that we have a right to judge. And I may not take that away from you. If you feel you need to judge, go ahead. But what measurement are you using? Because there's another universal law that you reap what you sow. And since you're going to reap what you sow, understand this. It's coming back to meet you again. And so you want it to meet you the right way. You don't want anything and everything to meet you. So you need to sow seeds. Every yard man, I often see people who have a lot of weeds in their yard. And they want you to kill all the weeds in the yard. Yes, you, at times, you can go in and treat it and kill all the weeds. And once all the weeds are gone, you find you have no grass. And so, because you didn't sow no seeds of grass. But I found out that many times you don't have to treat the weeds. Just keep planting the seeds. And the seeds will grow and develop and become strong. And by themselves, they'll push out the weeds. See, instead of you hating on your neighbor, instead of you hating on the next person, simply begin to reach out to sow a seed so that they will become part of the yard. Be part of the God. Add them in. Because if you become my friend, I don't have to worry about you being an enemy. I don't have to worry about you taking something that belongs to me. Don't have to worry about you doing something to harm me. So each one, teach one, is a principle. A principle of life that many of us sometimes don't want to follow. We feel that, well, I'm going to mind my own business. But that's not what God created us to do. He created us to have dominion in this world. Imagine this, though. The text says, over fish, over the birds, over the creatures of the field, over the beasts, over all the insects and everything that creeps upon the ground. But what it did not say was each of them. And many times, our biggest issue in life is we're so bent on trying to control other people till we forget to control ourselves or not do the things that we should be doing because we're focusing on God. So, still have not rebooted. So I'm going to ask Sister Ruth if you kick in. And when you kick in there, give me a clearing of your throat to let me know you're in the system. And we'll go on further with the program, with our music, and so on. Amen. And so today I just want to say that we've been talking about unity. And so I'm going to give you this part of the message. Unity is the key to, is a key to success. So what I want to talk about, the danger of being disconnected or the danger of being ununified, the danger of being ununified. And so the danger of being ununified is when you disconnect from what God has blessed. Now, we see it all through the Bible. So we're in Genesis. We see that Lucifer was in charge of doing some things, and he disconnected from God and thought he can overtake and overthrow the plan of God. And he and a third of the angels was kicked out of heaven. And all the promises that was going to be for them and all the blessings that was in store for them, now there's a punishment of eternal damnation, of being eternally disconnected from the source of all resources. That's our Creator and God. That's our Creator who is our God. That's our Creator who is the reason why we breathe. And so they have been eternally disconnected. And so now, as he makes man in Genesis 1 and 2, he tells man the plan. And man, he tells man in the day. In other words, he saw man already partaking in something he should not. So he tells him in the day, not if. A lot of us use that. We'll talk about that illustration. We say if. But he told him in the day. In other words, he knew that Adam had already made a conscious decision to disobey. So before that, Christ died. And what the Bible says, before the foundation of the world, Christ already died for us. In other words, the decision to redeem us was in the beginning. And so Adam disobeyed. But this is what I want to show about unity. As so long as Adam was naming the creatures and going on and enjoying life, he and Eve was able to enjoy the garden that had everything that they could want, everything that they needed, all their blessings was tied up, wrapped up in what God had already provided for them because they was in unity with God. But as soon as they decided to be disobedient, to go against what God have said, and to do their own thing, they was disconnected. Thereby now, man had to work by the sweat of his brow. In other words, work was going to be hard now. And women had to produce in pain. So now things became hard. It was designed to be easy, but our disobedience made it hard. So I want to pick up in a story today. Those of you that have your Bibles, turn down to Genesis chapter 13. And my faith is you really start in chapter 12, where God tells Abram to leave his father's house and that he was going to bless him, so on and so forth. And we read that, and we hear that God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curses you. In other words, God said, I got you covered. Just obey what I'm telling you. And because of your obedience, all nations, how many nations? All nations on the earth shall be blessed because of you. That means there's some blessings that people have right now today, not because they serve and love God, but because that there was a promise that God made to his blesser that he was going to bless this and that. Some people in life have gone through some heartache, some hardship. Some people have been caught in gunfire and wonder how they live. Been in car accident and wonder how they live. But there was a promise that God made to the blesser in their life that covered them, that have kept them, and they are blessed today because of their connection. Not because they were so wonderful, not because that they did everything right, but because they were connected. So what you connected to matters. Case in point, if you walk into any home that's already designed with outlets, and you can either charge on your cell phone and plug your cell phone connector to that outlet and plug it to your phone, and you expect for your phone to light up to show that it is now charging. But if their home has no power, in other words, if the electric company have disconnected it from the grid, I don't care how, or if your fuses in the houses are blown or tripped, you can go to one outlet, another receptacle, and you will find the same outcome, no power, because it's disconnected from the source. Many times in life, we want to do a lot of stuff and be disconnected from the source, not realizing that it's only by being connected to the source can I have the true power that I need. Some of you are burnt down. You're burnt up. You're saying, I've been a part of ministry. I've been this and I've been that. And you're burned up and you're burned out and you're tired. You're exhausted. But you're only exhausted because you came unplugged. And all I'm doing today is encouraging you to plug back in so that you can be repowered. Amen. So that you can be encouraged again. That's one of the main purposes of being connected to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, is so that you will have others in like faith that you can empower, that can empower you, so that y'all can go and empower your community, your neighborhood, your city, your nation, so that you can do the will of God that God has for y'all lives. And so be encouraged. So we get into Genesis chapter 13, and we find out that Abraham had left his father's home. That means the company of his dad. That company, that group of people, that nation, Abram sought out with his nephew Lot. And actually, if you really read the Bible, he took his father with him. Now, that means they left all those of the old tradition there, but he actually took his old father and his young nephew with him. We find out in scripture that later on his father died. Then God stopped blessing. Lot being with Abraham, his possessions started growing to the point where Lot was able to have herdsmen, and Abraham was able to have herdsmen. And so that means they needed help. The Bible says that Abram was blessed with livestock. He was blessed in gold and silver. And it says because Lot was with him, Lot was blessed in livestock. So Lot had some provisions. But he had those things because of who was with him. Our message today is entitled The Danger of Being Ununified. In the scripture, we see that the herdsmen, not Lot, the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot started disagreeing with one another. They started having issues about who's who's and what's what. Here's the dangers of being disconnected. The dangers of not being unified. When people don't realize the importance of unity, they'll come in to your home and bring in division. So, sisters, be careful who, what women you listen to. Now, girl, I wouldn't listen to your husband doing that shit. My husband can't do it. Is you mad? No. Well, you know, I'm on my third one. Well, that's probably the reason why you on your third one, because you wouldn't listen to the first two. You can't listen to everybody. And here it is that they're in disarray, and instead of Lot saying, listen, do y'all want a job? Talking to his herdsmen. Because the only reason why I have what I have is because of who my uncle is and who my uncle served. I'm blessed because my uncle trusted God. I'm blessed because my uncle obeyed God. So I'm not going to allow you to mess up this blessing. But like most of us, we allow people to gas up our head and make us think that we're bigger than we are, make us think that we're more important than we are, and we will follow suit with them. And so he goes to his uncle, but his uncle taking what we call the higher road. His uncle says, listen, we are brethren. In other words, we family. We serve the same God. So because I'm trusting God with what I have anyway, since the land is not that the land is so big that it won't hold us, thank you, sister. Since the land, the Bible said that the land could not hold them. It wasn't that the land couldn't hold them. It was that the people didn't believe, and they strife with one another. So it was their perception of what was going on versus what's actually going on. And so he says to Lot, if you go to the left, I go to the right. If you go over here, I go in the opposite direction. Whatever you choose, I'm going to go the other way. Now, that's how you know when you trust God. When you trust God, where you say, listen, you can pick first. That means Lot had his opportunity to pick what was best. Now, this is where when you start listening to the wrong people that can mislead you, cause you to go in the wrong direction, cause you to really miss what God has for you. The Bible said that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And at that day and time, these two cities are probably what was called what happened. They had a lot of buildings there. So, in other words, he saw an opportunity. And instead of trusting God, instead of sticking with the blessing that he had in his uncle, he decided to go after what seemed like prosperity. There's an old saying that all that glitter ain't gold. So he went after what he thought was prosperity. So number one, the danger of being ununified leaves you, number one, vulnerable for attack. The danger of being ununified leaves you vulnerable for an attack. It was when he separated, after he separated from his uncle, did these things begin to happen to him. The first thing was some other people that was into that plundering thing came in and say, hey, he don't have no connections. He be by himself. So he be easy picking. And went in and took what he had. Now, question, and I want y'all to think about this. This is just in Kenneth's mind. It's in my mind. I got a question. Them folks that was telling me to leave my uncle, what happened when the kings and these other people came in to take over? Did y'all leave me? Did I get what I just deserved because I left my uncle? I abandoned my uncle? This is in my mind. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I left my connection. And so these fellas who was part of my growth, they was blessed because they were part of my growth. But where are they now? And so it begs to ask the question that the folks that sent you out, why they ain't with you now? Why are they not with you at this moment? Food for thought, with you. The question is, are they really with you? Because if they were really with him, they should have been there to fight with him. There should not have been an easy conquest. So the Bible doesn't say this. So I wonder, did half of them run away? I'm wondering how many stuck around as those other people came in to take over. I'm wondering, was they sleep on the post when they supposed to have been watching for the cattle, when they supposed to have been watching the livestock? Were they asleep, and that's why the enemy was able to come in? See, I got a lot of questions right up in there. That's why I love reading the Word, because, see, it makes you think about real life. Why did your business fall? Is it because they wasn't just eating a fry here and there, but they were taking home meals and they were giving away meals? Why didn't your business prosper? Could it be that that the increase was being consumed by those that was supposed to make sure that the increase came in? See, all of these are questions, but they fall back to the one thing, and is it, did you disconnect from your source of blessing? Did you break relationships that shouldn't have been broken? Did God bless you, and all of a sudden now that God has blessed you, you believe that you don't need God no more? It's amazing how I hear people saying, well, I read the Bible. You know, hey, I know the Bible. Okay, you know the Bible. When the last time you read it? Man, I read it a long time ago. Okay, you really mean to tell me that you remember all that you read from way back whenever you say that you read it? You mean to tell me you still retain all that's in it? No. Then you're missing the point of it. The Bible is living and breathing. I know it is called the Logos, the written word. But every now and then when we read the word of God, God give us a rhema, the right now word, the word that speaks to us in this season, the words that speak to us and blesses us now. That's the word that I'm looking for. That's what I'm going after, what God is saying today. Yeah, some of us are living on yesterday's memories, and so we can't find the treasures that was planted for us today. So we're falling on the wrong thing. Anyway, keep on moving, preacher. Keep on moving. So Lot get captured. And as Lot gets captured, most of you know the story, but to those of you who don't, he's captured and don't nobody knows, except for the ones that come back and tell Abel that your nephew Lot and his livestock, his wife, his children, all these folks are captured. But the Bible said that Abram, he didn't go to the king of the land. He didn't go to the neighbors, surrounded them. But he gathered together some strong men in his company that was ready. He called upon them. He probably said, hey, my boy Lot is caught. And they know that's his nephew. And they probably said, man, we'll go fight with you. We'll go fight for you. We'll go fight with you. And so he gathered and armed them. In other words, they was already ready to fight. They was already, because they was on their jobs. They was taking care. Maybe they saw the enemy tried them once in the past, and they ran them out. So they was ready to fight because they knew their blessing came because they were connected. That's why it's not good to steal from the company you work for. Even if it's just a piece of paper, yeah, put these people photocopy papers back. It's just, when you started thinking little, then you started, when that become acceptable, the next thing become acceptable. And before you know it, it's a big thing. And sin has crept in, and you allow things to happen that should not happen. But when you treasure the company that is provided for you, then you will begin to guard. That's the one thing when I was a retail manager, they wonder why I was spotting shoplifters here and there. They were wondering why I was a stickler about filling out the books right. They would wonder why. Hey, man, listen, you're missing 10 cents. 10 cents? Yeah. Be careful. Don't give away these people money. Why? Because all of it counts. And then your salary, your pay comes from the company. How would you like it if the company said, well, our creditors are short, so we're going to shorten our workers. You wouldn't feel good about that. So don't go to work and play around for 80% of the time and give them 20% of the work. And then for 20% of the time, you're trying to make up the 80% of work that you get done, knowing that you're only going to get half of that. But give them people what they pay you for. They pay you to come and work. They pay you to do a certain task. Do that. Be mindful that if you was the boss, how would you feel if people played on your clock, if people didn't honor the time that you were paying them? It makes the world of a difference. It makes the world of a difference. If you know that this job can be done in 15 minutes and you're taking an hour and 15 minutes and it was your company, you'll feel like they was robbing you. So treat them as you would want to be treated. It makes the difference. Oftentimes we want God to bless us. But ask yourself this question. When was the last time I blessed God? And I know somebody real smart said, how can I bless God? Well, you need to understand what the word blessing means. See, most of us don't understand what the word blessing means. Sometimes just the word blessing means to speak well of and to pronounce something afterwards. The word blessing means to release. The way you bless God is to release something that you spoke well of concerning his actions. So when they say, come on, church, let's bless the Lord. That's the clapping of your hands saying, God, you're wonderful. God, you're awesome. God, you're mighty. You are our provider. See, that's blessing God right there because he inhabits the praises of his people. So that's how you bless God right through there. That's a blessing in the eyes of the Lord. That's how you bless him. And so when you really want to bless God, you learn how to tell God thank you. You learn how to tell God you love him. You learn how to show that gratitude unto the Lord. And as you do those things, then God's turning around. And when he blessed you, look how he blessed Abram. He said, I shall make you a great nation. In other words, he called him great before he was great. And he told him, as you do these things, I'm going to release. See, that's that blessing. I'm going to release to you. And because I released it to you, it's going to bless many. So the blessings of God are not just for you, but it's for you and those connected to you. Why? Because God deals in excess. He loves to overflow. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You went and bought a car that you couldn't afford and called it a blessing, didn't realize that the enemy can open doors that you'll walk in thinking that they were a blessing, but they brought pain, comfort, and worriation. So maybe we need to stop and examine the things in our lives right now, whether or not they were the blessing to the Lord or the blessing of our own doing or the opening of doors by the enemy. Because the enemy can open doors. But when he opened doors, it's because he wanted us to bow down and worship him. We saw it. He told Jesus the same thing. All this belongs to me. I give it to you if you fall down and worship me. And again, these hands, Satan, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Some of us are serving money, and so we're chasing money. We're chasing fame. We're chasing popularity. We're chasing all the wrong things. And we wonder, where is God? We thought because we did this or that was God. But in the life of Abram, in the life of Lot, he thought that he was the bigger man. But when he got captured, it was his father, that man, the blessed man, that had to come and rescue him. God sends people to rescue us. Some of us have been struggle with alcoholism and drug abuse. Somebody came and sponsored us in an AA meeting, a drug rehab meeting, a group program have came and functioned, came in and rescued us from those choices that we made. But have we maintained the decision, the choice to remain with them after they have come and rescued us? If I was Lot, when my uncle came and got me, there would have been nothing my family or anybody else could have told me that would cause me to leave him again. Because I was with him, I was blessed. I got by myself, I got overthrown. That would have been the lesson for me. But as it would be, human nature, sometimes we don't learn the lesson the first time, and Lot did not listen. In the place that he was pointing to, he had the nerve to go and build a home in it. Thinking, well, I was pointing at the city. Let me go and build me a house in the city. I was pointing in the wrong direction, so now let me go and be in the wrong direction. That's what he did. Want to think about the decisions that you're making. Why? Because if you got in trouble when you were just looking down the road, going down the road going to put you in more trouble. And for those of you that don't know the story, here it is in this part of the story. Lot is in this city, and there's nothing mentioned about him until God decided to have a conversation with someone that he had decided to be great. He named him as Abram, being a friend of God, who God has anointed to be a great nation. God said, there's some words coming up to me about the nature of this city. And let me put a pin right here. It's not that God did not know what was going on. What we don't realize that heaven and earth sometimes bear witness of our actions. We've seen it referenced before. I call heaven and earth to bear witness today. In other words, there's some things that happen in the land that the land cried. When Cain killed his brother Abel, the blood cried from the ground. Here in Sodom and Gomorrah, there may have been some blood. There may have been some cries. The nature itself was crying out in pain to the Lord to change. But because Abram had a connection to someone in the city, God said, let me talk to my friend Abram. Let me talk to him first. And he said, I'm going to go and destroy this city because it's come before me that they're wicked. He said, shall the Lord punish the just with the unjust? And he goes into conversation. Now, the Bible records a short version for us. But can you really imagine the conversation of Abram talking to the Lord about this city? Abram, in his mind, he was probably thinking about his nephew. God, in his heart, had already considered Abram's nephew. And so there's a dialogue coming where it had Lot simply done what his uncle had taught him, honor God, love God, serve God, tell your family that they must serve God, teach them how to love God. Had he done that, this city probably could have been spared. But Abram went in a conversation with the Lord. Lord, if it be 50 righteous people, spare the city. He said, okay, I'll spare it. Wait a minute, Lord. It might be 49. So if it be 40 people, we spare. And God allowed Abram to get all the way down to 10 people in the city. Now, I don't know the total number of people in this city, but it was a major city. It was a lot of happiness going. So I can imagine it. Maybe it's probably the size of one of these rural towns near us. Got several thousand people living there, doing their business, doing all types of damnable things, that God decided to bring justice or punishment early to destroy the city so that there don't continue to spread and contaminate the land. And God sent his angel to rescue Lot. And instead of Lot going to the place where the angel wanted to take him, he chose a small place where the only reason why that place was spared was because he was there, because he was connected to the blesser, God blood. The danger of being disconnected that Abram had disconnected so much from that Lot had disconnected so much from his uncle Abram. This is before, as he became Abraham. He had disconnected so much from him that Lot's own wife turned back to the city that she had no business being in the beginning. And her decision to turn back just for a look caused her to turn into a pillar of salt. And this salt wasn't for seasoning, because you can take rock salt. And in that early day and time, the way they made certain rolls, they took and they put salt on the ground so grass wouldn't grow. And the road was still road. And so she turned into a pillow of salt. She turned into something that would never grow. All because she was connected to someone who became disconnected from a blessing. And the story goes on, and we'll share it another time, because the pain didn't stop there. It continued with his daughters. So the decisions that you, sir, you, ma'am, are making today, are they decisions that have caused division in your family? Are they decisions that have caused things not to grow? Well, that was yesterday. Today is a brand new day. And I do like Joshua for you today. Choose. Huh? I said choose. Are you going to continue to chase money? Or will you choose to surrender to Almighty God? Will you decide to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? Or are you going to continue to try to do it your way. Challenge you today to make a decision. Well, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And for Kenneth, I'm going to remain humble and trust God and lean not to my own understanding and acknowledge him that he may continue to direct my path. Because he know his plan towards me. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give me an expected end. So I stand on his word. Will you do the same? I encourage you to know the scriptures for yourself, to know the benefits of being part of the kingdom of God. And a part of the kingdom of God is not just the promise to go to heaven. No. Being a part of the kingdom of God is being blessed with the things you need to do his will here in this world. We are here for a short period of time. Some of us are blessed to get real old. Some of us will never see authorized. But whatever it is, we must be diligent in working for him. We're not saved because of our works, but we are saved that we may do good works. And what are good works? Good works are works that God can get the glory from. Know Jesus as the pardon of your sin. Have you committed your life to serving him? It's a simple thing. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth and believe with thy heart the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. You can be saved through the confession of your mouth. That's not just what giving God lips saying, but that's giving God your heart saying. Let your heart cry out to God right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, here am I, a sinner. And I am in need of a Savior. I do not want to die and burn in a devil's hell. And I do not want to live life unfulfilled. So I'm asking you, Father God, to save my soul. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he went to the grave and you rose him with power of life and death in his hand. And I'm believing you, Father God, to fill me with your precious gift of the Holy Spirit, that I will know how to live this life from this day forward. I receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit into my heart to lead me and to guide me. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, brother, sister, we believe, we know that you are a born-again believer. You could have said it many times, but all it takes is one time from your heart, and it'll stick, and it'll stay. If you believe it, hold on to it. Connect yourself with a Bible teaching ministry, a Bible believing ministry. Grow and learn with them. Let us know. The more than able to write blog talk and drop a post in our line there, the Six Eyes Radio. So we thank you for sharing with us today. We're going to turn on some music, here come commercials. Want to say thank you. We did it in reverse today. I'm still going to ask Missionary Ken to pray. I'm still going to ask Sister Ruth to give a scripture reading. We did it in reverse today. I was having technical problems. But nevertheless, we pressed on. And that teaches us, even in life, sometimes things do not go the way we plan. But we must keep moving forward to do what God has in store for us. Maybe somebody tuned in earlier today and didn't want to hear no music. And maybe that was the reason everything went haywire. I don't know. All I do know, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to hear some tunes. God bless you, Missionary Ken, Sister Ruth. God bless you, Brother Charles. God bless you, Sister Emily. God bless you, Sister Michaela. God bless you, Lady Bonnet. God bless my daughter, Quan. God bless all of you. I'm not sure who that name is, but God bless you. Thank you for joining us on today. Amen and amen.
God bless you too, Pastor Bonnet.
I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
All right. There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
All right. Brother Charles, God bless you, Brother Six. How you doing on this wonderful Sunday afternoon?
Thank you very much. I have your favorite here with us, Mama Six Eyes. So she's here with us on the phone.
Hello.
And, God bless you, Mama Sammy.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you. It's good to hear you, Mama Sanford. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you, Mama.
Thank you. Bless you as well.
Now, that's the lady that's always asking you to give her a hug when I see you. That's Sister Emily.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
God bless you too, sweetheart.
And my mama said to tell you, God bless you, and she loves you, mama.
Oh, thank you so much.
I bless you. Yeah, I just thought about that, Brother Charles. That is true. Sister Emma is our hugger. I used to say that about my wife. She is our hugger. She, you know, there's a little joke out there about tree huggers, but we ain't gonna mess with that right now. But she is our hugger. She is our literal. She has the title as the hugger. Yeah. In the midst of COVID-19, she is still the hugger.
Wow. Brave woman.
They saying, don't touch. She said, hug. That's somebody who trusts God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sister Emily, you are in a small class of people right now that are beautiful because y'all are the only one that say, listen, we are created to touch one another. Give me a hug. I love it. I love it. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. God bless you, Sister Ruth. I heard you earlier. I didn't hear Missionary Ken. I don't think I heard him. But God bless you all. I do not know what was going on with my system. The whole thing rebooted and uploaded.
It wanted to be loaded there, Dad.
It did a whole lot of stuff. I'm like, ain't nobody told you to do none of that.
Well, you know what? I actually like the reverse. Because when you go to church, I mean, they come to hear the message. They don't come to boogie. They don't come to dance. They come to hear the message. So I actually like how it is in reverse, and I think we should keep it that way. Because when the listeners call, they're calling to hear the message. We can play music later on. So I like it.
Well, listen, I know that God does things. When we say, Lord, have your way, he does things his own way. I have my men's fellowship meeting on every third Saturday of the month from 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest son got married yesterday. And at 9 o'clock, I was busy helping them take the stuff over to take their decorations over to the venue where the wedding was going to be held here in Memphis. And it ended up being very beautiful, but it made me jump in on my own program late, a few minutes late. But the men was already talking about faith in God, trusting God, what I was going to argue. And so it showed me that the program of God will always continue, that God will always make a way for what he has planned for that group. Because ultimately, like you said, they come to hear the word, they come to be encouraged, they come to be inspired or enlightened, whatever they do. You know, they're looking for something to connect to, and especially when you're looking to connect from God and how God does things. And so to see that program go very well while I was being pulled from multiple ways, and I'm just totally convinced that God always has a way of speaking if we listen. And so I'm thankful that I had already had in my heart what to share. And matter of fact, I was going to start at a different point, but as Pastor Calhoun was preaching this morning, I said, nah, I'm going to talk more about the disconnect today. Because, yes, we need unity. We need unity. We know unity is the coming together. But the danger of being ununited, the danger of being disconnected, that's something we don't often talk about. And so it's very important for us to realize that being disconnected means that we're going to run out of power. Being disconnected mm-hmm. means we're going to run out of resources. So if you don't have the source, whatever you had, you're going to run out of it. And that's why Jesus said, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. In other words, and if you break off from me, you have nothing to root you. So you have nothing, no way of continuing growth. That's why it's so important to stay connected. So important to be a part, because it is that connection that causes growth. And it's when we're disconnected, the enemy has you isolated. And it's in isolation are we overcome. Lot was only able to be captured because he was isolated from a greater source. And so we have to be careful when we get isolated. A lot of times our depression, our oppression comes because we moved out of the crowd. We got frustrated with the crowd. We got frustrated with the people. And we left not realizing that was a source of strength in itself to keep us in a right direction. And so when we don't understand that we're connected to the source, then we'll be disconnected by moving away from what God has planned for us. And so what God has planned for us is what God has planned for us. Amen. And my mom and my sister's coming in, so y'all probably hear a few extra sounds in my background. Amen. Love you, Pastor.
That's all right.
And so they're coming in. Man, I tell you, we have to learn to stay connected. And so that's why I stayed with the point of just talking about the danger of being disconnected, the danger of isolation, the danger. You know, too many times we want to be independent, but you cannot name one independent person of their own. Okay. Every inventor in the world, the only reason why they're popular is because people bought into their invention. If I say Model T, you're going to look in the streets today. You won't see Model T, but you'll see Ford. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. That's all right. But I know I'm talking good because that's how the growth of success happens. We always fall back on the blesser. The blesser for Ford Model Company was those that started it. And so they didn't change the car. They didn't change the name. They still Ford. You know, we may tease about, I remember years ago, because I had an old Ford Fairmont, Brother Charles, and that Ford
wow.
Fairmont, we had on that Ford Fairmont, On that Ford Fairmont, I had to learn how to work on it. And that's when I learned the acronym
uh-huh.
that they was using with Ford. They would say, you know what Ford stands for? I said, huh? They say, it's backwards. Driver return on foot. I'm like, oh, man. And I was broke down. I was out of town. My carburetor had
wow.
went out. But I was determined. I said, well, do y'all have a automotive place here? And they say, yeah. I had somebody drive. I say, something going on with my carburetor. I need to rebuild it. They say, have you ever done that before? I said, no, but I'm going to learn today. And they say, but I said, listen, it's broke. There's no, this the weekend. There's no places open. And I got to be to work on Monday. So we're going to fix this. And here's how I learned it. And this is how I tell, and that's why I'm so adamant about reading the Word of God today. I simply asked the question. They told me what to do. I said, does it come with instruction? They say, yes. I said, good. Let me see them. I read the instruction. I took pictures. I had a Polaroid I had a Polaroid camera in my trunk. I took a picture of the carburetor before I took it loose. And then when I took part of it off, so I took a picture, took another part of it off, and took a picture. And so when I came back to, I made sure when I was putting it back together that the picture was lining up so that everything was right. And I followed the instruction, and I got it right the first time. And that teaches me, that taught me a lesson there, the importance of following instructions. And so when we follow the Word of God, the importance of it is it'll keep us out of trouble later, or it'll help us when we get into trouble later, or if we get into trouble, it will bless us at another time. And so, so I'm convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that when you follow the instruction, if a key to it in itself is a key to success, a victory. And since God has given us a plan for success and victory, it only serves to know that, hey, God made us, so he had every right to write the manual for us. And if we follow the instructions, we'll be all right. Are y'all quiet today? Y'all quiet today. Missionary Ken.
Come on, Ken.
Yeah.
Get your coffee.
Yeah.
They, yes. Missionary Ken.
Yeah.
Anybody
that knows about Ford knows it means fix or repair daily.
That's right. That's the other one. I was getting to it. Thank you for back.
Found out on my dead.
Yeah. And so those things was funny to me in the early days, you know, but it made me learn how to work, how to follow instructions. Amen. And so my old Ford Fairmont, that thing did good for me. Because I learned how to fix on it by following some instructions. So they would tease about the little found on the road dead, driver returned on foot, you know. That made me learn how to work on them. Amen. Missionary Ken, we got listeners all over the world. And in this summertime, you know, people go through different emotional exchanges, different trying times. And I just really want you to offer up a prayer. We went a little different today. I just want you to pray for our nation here in the United States. But we're part of this world system, too, in some indirect way. And we need to be praying for people everywhere. So we have some sick. We have some people that are dealing with poverty. We have some people that's dealing with indecisiveness and so on and so forth. And I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into a prayer. If we just pray for our nations as a whole, can we just stop and just offer a prayer for our listeners and those that are on the line now?
Yep. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had so far. We thank you for the message, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, that it, as it went out, that it would have touched that soul who is nearest hell, Lord Jesus, so they could reel up the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, Lord Jesus, so we can rejoice with them in a newfound joy. Lord Jesus, we ask you, first off, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, that you give them a special blessing so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then your children, Lord Jesus, they need to be able to keep on keeping on for you. So we ask a special blessing and do pray, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, out there, Lord Jesus, many others need your help, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch their hearts, their lives, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus, whatever they may need, we ask you to meet their needs tonight, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for everyone that's been dealing with COVID-19, we know that it's been a trial, Lord Jesus. First off, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to touch them, Lord Jesus, in a special way as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are dealing with it right now, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, as only you can. And, Lord Jesus, with our nation, Lord Jesus, we know, Lord Jesus, your word says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you would hear. Lord Jesus, we got a lot to repent for. We got a lot to turn our backs on and repent from, Lord Jesus. That's what repentance is, a changing of the mind, a changing of the thinking, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord Jesus, we've turned our backs on you, Lord Jesus. We repent. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to heal our land. But, Lord Jesus, we need to first turn from our wicked ways and come back to you, Lord Jesus, as a nation. We repent for our nation, on behalf of our nation. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch us now, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to come back to you, as we need to do, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the sake of those who are lost, help us to come back to you, so that they could come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Help our churches to come to you, Lord Jesus, instead of leaving you outside the doors, Lord Jesus. Now we ask all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
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 Hey, Sig.
Amen.
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 Sister Ruth, if you'll, for a moment, if you'll give us a scripture reading, just to add along with what's already going on today, if you just give us a food for thought reading, that'd be greatly appreciated.
Sure. I got Psalm 23, which everybody loves, so I thought I'd have fun. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All you could do is praise God after that one. Wow. That's great.
Amen. 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 What, Sister Rue, we all love the 23rd Psalm. If you had to pick maybe a verse out of that, if you could, I don't know if you can, because all of it's so good. If you had to pick one particular verse out of there, which one would it be and why?
Oh, excuse me. I asked, actually, verse 3 is, restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's done that so much in my life, you wouldn't believe it. He's taken care of me. I mean, I've done some stupid stuff even after being saved. You know, the Lord's with you all the way, and he does restore your soul.
Amen, amen. He really does. He really does work for us in that way. It's a blessing by itself. It says he leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. That blesses me because it means it's not about me, but he do it because it's for him. So God lead me into doing right for me. You know, he do it for me. That in itself, when we understand that, you know, if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all have, that means we all deserve hell. So for God to allow David to pen these words to allow us to know that God will direct us in a path of righteousness, not because we was righteous, not because we have attained, but because of his name. So that helps me to understand that God wants me to be blessed, that God wants his greatness upon me. And so when I understand that, then that blesses me in so many ways. So thank you, Sister Ruth, for that. I sure appreciate that. That is a wonderful thing. I have with me the newlyweds. They just walked into the house, my son Kenneth and my new daughter-in-law, Ashley. Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all on the studio? Y'all say hello to them.
Hello, hello. Congratulations.
Congratulations, everybody.
Thanks so much.
All right. Hey, you're very welcome. I got a question.
Got a question for you, Kenneth. All right. For Kenneth or Ashley, which one?
Well, for both. All right. Now, when y'all cut that cake, where do you leave it? Do you leave it at your mother-in-law's, or do you take the cake and put it in the freezer? And are you going to do that?
Okay.
So we're gonna mark the date, and a year from now on the Six Eyes Radio Network, I want you all to be on here to eat this cake live.
Okay.
And the next question, what was your first dance as bride and groom, husband and wife, and what song did the groom boogie to afterwards?
They know that by heart because they made sure that they.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's my dad. It's my dad.
He said, "What was y'all first song?" He said, "What was the first song that y'all danced to at the?" What was the title of the first song?
It was "I'm Ready" by Tevin Campbell.
Mm-hmm. All right now. That is beautiful. Well, congratulations from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Like, I got video.
Oh yeah. Now the question was your father-in-law out there dancing? That's the question.
I eventually got out there. They eventually got out there and danced.
All right now. That is
a
beautiful
fun.
Thing. Well,
really
I wish that is beautiful. I am so happy for you. Everyone on the station is happy for you, and just keep enjoying each other and continue to just grow. And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And you know what would be a good idea? So you take a picture now, and each year y'all take a picture. So as you get older, and then you just do like a time lapse.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Think about it. So if they take a picture right now, young, then 10 years
from
now, 20 years from now, and then you can do a time lapse and see how they aged. But they're still together and happy. I think that'd be great.
Well, looking at both of their parents, I think they're gonna age very gracefully.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'm going to play this track so I can mute my line.
I'll let them get to the honeymoon.
He's sick.
I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Hang me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you. Take me to the
This song is not for you. If you've never cried a river or had your heart broken in two, this song is not for you.
Lord came about them, and
they were so afraid. Yeah.
I know that. That's our nativity.
Yep,
our nativity story.
Yeah. I bet Emily. Emily probably knows this one. What do you think?
Huh?
It's one of those four Gospels, Emily. I bet you know.
I say it's Matthew 12:2.
You know, you're probably right in the Matthew, but we're in a little bit different book, but it's close. I can say that much. I could be a little sticker sometimes, but. I can't. What you got? I bet you know. Of course, you know.
Oh, you know what? It's not. It's in the four gospel, but let's go to Luke because he was a good person with detail. So Luke chapter 2:4.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, honey, you are so hot. Might as well give it to you if you want me to tell you.
I mean, no, Luke 2:9. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I was off.
But that's okay, because they're all kind of repeated a lot in the four Gospels, so I think you guys are good.
Yeah. I knew it was the nativity. I knew it was the nativity.
All right. All right, you guys have to run for next time. Okay.
All right. Give us our challenge. What to look for.
Yeah, you probably
Brother Six, you knew where that was, Brother Six. I know you knew.
He could.
No,
he
sir.
Coffee.
I got.
No, not that one.
I've been drinking coffee, but I also drink cherry pop. Okay, I'm ready.
I'm drinking coffee, but that still didn't help me find it.
I still think you guys are all smart. So, okay, here it is. And the angel.
Not sick. You didn't find that one.
Honey, you We're okay?
I wrote, I'm fine.
All right, I'm ready when you guys are.
We're
and the
ready.
Angel,
we ready.
Okay, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to shew these glad tidings. Now, y'all probably know this one, but I'll do it again. Yeah. Mm. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to shew these great glad tidings. Yeah.
Amen. I
think you guys already know approximately what that is.
Well, I know he was talking to Zachariah.
Yeah. So you already got an idea. You doing okay, sweetheart? Yeah. All right. He's just going out by the kitchen here. It's checking to see on him.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
He was talking to Zachariah. Amen. But anyway.
Still with us.
All right. Sister Emily, you're on the line. What was the scripture reading for today?
I came in late, dear.
You was on at this time.
I was kind of talking on the gospel bus.
When Sister Ruth read the scripture, you was on because the scripture was read just before the songs.
Oh, the scripture before the song was Psalm 23.
All right. See what I'm saying?
You
was
got
on,
it, girl. All right.
I got one for you.
Is our dear Brother Six still on the line?
No, it's all dropped.
Six, would you behave?
Not,
You two are such fun.
But I got a question for both you and Six.
Uh-oh. That sounds like trouble. Come on with it.
I just wanted to know if it was okay to do what I asked you about last night, Six.
Yes, absolutely. And also, before you do that, continue to pray for the world. And also need you to pray for my friend James. Pray for him. Continue to pray for cousin Sean. And we lost my cousin, Patricia. So we lost her. So just want to keep our family in prayer and keep your family in prayer and just pray for mankind, all the sick and shedding. So that covers everybody. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Emily.
I just wanted to say to my older brother and my sister-in-law, happy 7th wedding anniversary today.
All right. All right. Happy 7th wedding anniversary.
To Lewis and Dee Dee.
All right. So a happy anniversary.
And you
want to sing? Happy anniversary.
And we, Ruth and I, just had our 24th.
On what date?
On the 12th.
All right.
And I just turned 62 on the 10th.
I was going to say, one, it was birthday, okay. And Brother Six had a birthday, too.
Happy birthday.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on the
Happy anniversary from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And next year at this time, join us for the cake eating of the bride and groom. Next year, around this time, they'll take cake out of the freezer, and they will make a milkshake, or they will make something, but they will be eating it live on air. Congratulations to the bride and groom.
Congratulations. Amen. Well, we have had a wonderful show on today.
Got one thing yet to go, Pastor Bonnet.
All right, come on with it. Hey, yo, Joe.
Yeah. Remember, this joke takes place in the future. When brain transplants...
Have the bride and groom sit down for this one.
Okay. This joke takes place in the future when brain transplants become as common as heart transplants, kidney transplants, yes, even tonsillectomies, okay? This old man who thinks he's becoming senile goes to the hospital and talks to a surgeon about getting a new brain. He goes in and talks to the surgeon, and the surgeon says, "Why, we got two brains that'll fit your head right now. One used to belong to a politician. One used to belong to a teacher." The old man, not wanting to spend too much money, asks how much they cost. The surgeon says, "Well, you see, the teacher's brain will cost you $500, while the politician's brain will cost you $55,000. Which the old man replied, "Wow, that politician must have been smart and done great things when he was in office." To which the surgeon replied, "Not really. You know politicians. His brain has never been used."
I know. I was waiting on that punchline. I was waiting on the punchline. Because because you got to pay the rest of his debt.
I have a million of them.
Not his debt following.
Like a car salesman, you know, you get a brand new car, it costs more than a used car costs less.
That's right. That is right. say, the newer the car is, the more it costs. Amen. Or the less used it is, the more it costs. That was good, Ken. I like it. I like it.
I know he's pulled that one on me before, and he got me with it.
Yeah, I like that. There was a accident involving a man of the world, and this Baptist preacher got out the car and said, "Man, you hit my vehicle." And the guy said, "No, you pulled out in front of me. You actually really hit me. You caused this accident." And they began to bicker back and forth. And the guy said, "You know what? We're not going to argue. You know, the police is on the way. And, man, you know, we shouldn't be arguing amongst everybody. You're preaching. You look like you just got finished preaching your sermon for the day. Man, we just, man, I got something in the glove compartment. And brought out a little communion." And he said, "Hey, man, listen, we're gonna thank God that we both still alive." And he said, "Cheers." And he gave the preacher something, and he said, "Man, that looks good." He said, "Yeah, it's very expensive." And he said, "Cheers." And the preacher drank it, and the guy threw his over his shoulder. He said, "Why you didn't drink it?" He said, "The police on his way. Hey, you're a drunk driver."
Now, I know Ruthie's got a good one. It's called Rules for the Bathroom. So you guys are going to love this one.
Lord help.
Hold on a minute. I got to find where I put it. I stuck it in here and by my purse. Just give me a sec. Oh, wait a minute. I think, well, must be the Lord wants me to read it. I thought I couldn't find it. Aha. Well, you know me. I've always got my silly stuff going on. I might have another one for you later. But this one is the one he thinks is hilarious. And it'll probably
Ruth, the show is only 2 hours.
Okay, I'm ready, honey.
Go ahead.
Rules of the bathroom. Number one, you lift seat cover before starting. Two, caution, all women place seat in proper position before sitting. Three, do not waste paper. Use both sides. If paper is scarce, use your ingenuity, but be careful for hygiene reasons. Four, do not confuse toilet brush with toothbrush. Five, save electricity. Learn to aim in the dark. Six, long timers be warned. After 2 hours, ejector chair will start working. Seven, we suggest you whistle or sing to obliterate inappropriate noises. Song sheets are available from the host. Eight, when writing graffiti on the wall, use only waterproof colors and brushes of good quality. Please write legibly. Nine, flush only when a risk of a suffocation or feeling of sickness occurs. 10, warning, thatching excessive amounts. There's a strong possibility of blockage. Flush several times and hope for the best. Last part. Number 11, if flooding occurs, keep calm. Life vest is under your seat. Tread water until help arrives. 12, avoid crowds. Maximum 16 persons in this room. Thank you. P.S. We hope you go by the rules cause. We wouldn't want you to make mistakes on number 4, 5, and 6, which we'll go back to. Is do not confuse toilet brush with toothbrush. Save electricity. Learn to aim in the dark. And long timers are you on. After 2 hours, eject your seat and start working. Oh, my.
I love it.
His aunt and uncle. This is funny.
I guess
you had to be there.
Yeah, just not 2 hours because the ejector seat will activate.
Kenny always likes this, so I think I'll just keep it here.
I would love to say that to my youngest son. I'd be like, man, your whole leg, your left side needs to be numb or something, guys. You feeling?
Oh, goodness.
That was good.
Yeah,
that
if your sister seats couldn't work after so long, you better watch out you don't go through the roof.
Yeah, actually, I got a longer one for later. I don't think you guys want this one. It's about a mock wedding.
Uh-oh.
But we might do that. How much time you guys got?
Save it for tomorrow night. Save it for tomorrow night.
Okay, I'll hold on to it.
That'll help make the show. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, I got a good one for you, Pastor.
Oh, you got one too? Come on. Come on. I was just gonna say, good night, sweetheart. It's time to go. Y'all don't know that show. Go right here.
Do you know what the difference is between a preacher and a radio disc jockey?
The radio disc jockey got more selection. I don't know.
My son come up with this one for you. He said, Mom, do you know what the difference is between a preacher and a radio disc jockey? I said, no, what? He said, the preacher knows more about the Bible than the radio disc jockey does.
No, we were looking for something complex.
Wah, 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 wah.
That's the sound. My goodness.
I got somebody over here being funny. That's why I had to mute myself.
Okay.
Hey, Kenny.
One.
You know the thing that certain person was doing the one night and got Ruthie laughing about it? The one night you guys were here and my neighbors were here, that imitation he did that got Rue laughing?
Now, later on, Billy Bob Thornton, Sling Blade will be on tonight. If you all would like to watch that show, it will be on every cable channel you turn to, Sling Blade. All right, then.
All right, next week, if y'all remind me, I'm gonna do the one on church gossip. Yeah,
okay.
Gossip, talk about that. So, church gossip. If I don't share it tomorrow night. Church gossip.
Okay.
A pretty good one. Church gossip. But once again, to all of our listeners, we want to thank you for joining the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. At this time, we turn it over to our brother Charles, the founder of our wonderful station, as he may give you information on how you may contribute to this programming. We thank you.
Thank you, for that beautiful message, Pastor Bonnet. Now, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific, our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, join him for Motivational Monday on the Six Eyes Radio Network every Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific. That is 424-243-9617. Make sure you tune in. Keep that number in your phone, 424-243-9617. Tomorrow, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet on Motivational Monday. Now, if you want to keep this station going, helping you bring us great programming that we bring you, you have two options. If you utilize the PayPal app, the email address you'll enter is SIXEYES, division number 6, at gmail.com. Once again, that is SIXEYES, division number 6, at gmail.com. And whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programs will be greatly appreciated. Now, for you Cash App users, same thing. to give a donation to help keep the station going. That would be $SIXEYES, digit number 2, the digit number 4. That is $SIXEYES, digit number 2, the digit number 4. And again, whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening. You've just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show.
All right, you all. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy. We look to see some of y'all tomorrow night. Have a good evening.
God bless everyone. Have a good day.
He saw the best in me when everyone else could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me, yeah.
Everyone else.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, yeah. Oh.
When everyone else around me,
can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees.